Well, we are actually joining Centers for Spiritual Living, which is the larger organization to which we belong, today in a theme that they are doing that comes out of that Global Heart Vision. And so the Global Heart Vision is the thing that leads us and guides us to making the decisions that we make and the choices and the actions that we do as an organization. And so the theme today that comes out of that Global Heart Vision is being of service to the world. And so my talk today is titled Heart to Heart, and I'm talking about how, as spiritual beings here on planet Earth, we are here to express the divine. We are here to express our spirits. We are here to create heaven on earth. And one of the ways that we do that is by being of service in this world, by sharing our love through our physical actions. Because as spiritual beings, we have a need to feel connected to each other, to feel connected to the larger humanity. We have a need to make a difference in this world. We have a need to be of service. And when we give from a place of selflessness, when we give without attachment and thinking or expecting anything in return, but just giving to meet a need, when we give from that place of selflessness, we move from our ego self to giving from our spirit. And when we give from our spirit in any way in this world, we are then giving way to the divine through us, enabling it to express through us that love of the divine. When we are of service to others, we are expressing that love. And when we are expressing that love of the divine, then we are actually being of service to life and to being of service to the whole, because we are all part of that whole and all connected. And so at Living Beyond Limits, we create opportunities here to be of service and to do community outreach, and we try to do that 4 times a year. And so recently, we just finished with our backpack project, where we made 27 backpacks for the children who are staying at Tsukasa, which is a shelter for battered women. And we filled them with all sorts of school supplies, everything they could need to have a successful year at school. And I know that also a lot of love went into every single one of those backpacks that was created. In October, we are going to do an Alzheimer's walk. So we are going to build a team here, and we are going to go outside and collect sponsors, people that we know, and collect money, raise money to fund Alzheimer's research. So we do lots of activities like that here as a way to reach out and be of service and share our love and share our good. Those acts of service, those are all acts of selfless service. And when we do those, we come from this deep place of connection. We are doing those acts from this place and feeling of oneness within us. We are doing those acts from a deep sense of love that we have within us. And so Nagarjuna, who is an Indian film actor, producer, and philanthropist, says, "Even offering 300 bowls of food 3 times a day does not match the spiritual merit gained in one moment of love. It is when we give from that love that it really makes a difference. It's when we give from that love that we feed our own souls and feed the souls of those that we are serving. So while it is incredibly important to meet those needs in this world, and it is, and we know there are a lot of needs, it's incredibly important. Also, there is a deeper need that is going on inside of us and a deeper response going on inside of us, and that is the call to love. That is the call to giving way to that divine presence of love within us, giving way to our spirit, and giving way to our essential nature, which is love. And so in the Bible, we are invited many times to come from love, to be a channel for that love. And so in John 4:7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, because we place ourselves in the flow when we love." In John 4:21, it says, "And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. Like in Barbara's reading today, when we love each other, we are loving God because God is already in that person, and we're giving way to that love, which is God. And in Matthew 25:35, it says, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. We are called to invite others into our heart, to invite others into the light of our love, to invite others into the light of spirit that we so clearly embody and know and feel. And so I would like to share a story with you that I read this week. It says, during the Second War, German paratroopers invaded the island of Crete. When they landed at Malim, the islanders met them, bearing nothing other than kitchen knives and hay scythes. The consequences of resistance were devastating. Many villagers were left dead. Overlooking the airstrip today is an Institute for Peace and Understanding, founded by a Greek man named Alexander Papadaris. Papadaris was just 6 years old when the war started. His home village was destroyed, and he was imprisoned in a concentration camp. When the war ended, he became convinced his people needed to let go of the hatred that the war had unleashed. To help the process, he founded his institute at this place that embodies the horrors and hatreds unleashed by the war. One day, while taking questions at the end of a lecture, Papadaris was asked, "What is the meaning of life?" There was nervous laughter in the room. It was such a weighty question, but Papadaris answered it. He opened his wallet, took out a small round mirror, and held it up for everyone to see. He said during the war, he was just a small boy when he came across a motorcycle wreck. The motorcycle had belonged to German soldiers. Alexander saw pieces of broken mirror from the motorcycle lying on the ground. He tried to put them together but couldn't. So he took the largest piece and scratched it against a stone until its edges were smooth and it was round. He used it as a toy, fascinated by the way he could use it to shine light into holes and crevices. He kept that mirror with him as he grew up, and over time, it became to symbolize something very important. It became a metaphor for what he might do with his life. I am a fragment of a mirror whose design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of the world, into the black places in the hearts of men, and change some things in some people. Perhaps others may see and do likewise. This is what I'm about. This is the meaning of my life. We are called to shine our light in this world, to bring that love of the divine from within us out into the world, and to be of service in sharing that love. The problem is, though, that so much of the time we are coming from our ego self. And when we are coming from our ego self, we come from a paradigm of separation. Separation from the divine, separation from the source of all good, separation from each other, separation from everything but ourselves. And when we are coming from that paradigm of being separate from source, of being separate from that universal substance and from others, then we conclude that there isn't enough. There isn't enough to give. There isn't enough to share. We conclude that somehow we are not safe, or that it is not safe, and then what we do is we hold tight. We draw back and we hold tight and we don't share. Out of that consciousness, we don't reach out to anyone that we don't already know. We don't reach out to anyone who is not already in our circle because it seems too scary or it seems like there isn't enough to go around. But when we come from our spirit, what happens is we come forward with an open heart and with open hands because we're already anchored in our enoughness. We're already anchored in love. We're already anchored in our wholeness when we come from our spirit. So this week, Colleen and I went on a little field trip up to L.A., and we went to the Grand Central Market and had lunch, and we went to Clifton's to see they've redone Clifton's that was built in 1923, I think. That Grand Central Market has been in business since 1918. And we had such a good time, and we went to the Bradbury Building, which is this incredible architecture, and it was so much fun. And before we left the house, Colleen said, "Do you have any dollars?" And so I look in my wallet, and I have like $5 bills or whatever. And she goes, "Okay, bring your dollars." And so I'm thinking, we're going to this Grand Central Market. I've never been there. We're having lunch, and it's a bunch of food booths and stuff. And I'm going to need those dollars to spend on that or for parking. I'm not quite sure what. And so we got up there, and we had lunch at the Grand Central Market, and I spent all my dollars on lunch. And then we're walking maybe three long city blocks to get down to Clifton's cafeteria. And as we go, there are lots of homeless people. Lots of encampments, lots of homeless people that are, you know, dirty and wrapped in their blankets and whatever. And every person that asked, Colleen is giving money to. She brought those dollars in her pocket so she could hand out money to everyone that asked, to my dismay. That's what happens when we come from our spirit. We automatically have an abundance to give and to share, and it comes from love. And the second problem is oftentimes what happens is our love is conditional. I will love you if, fill in the blank. I may not love that person because they aren't clean, they aren't holding a job, they aren't doing whatever perhaps I think they should be doing with their life. Or we do that with the people in our own personal lives too. I will love you if you act according to my standards and my desires and what I want in life. I will love you if, and I won't love you if you don't do this thing. We do that kind of love a lot. That's love with attachment. We do that love with attachment a lot in our inner circles. And it says, I love you because you meet this need of mine. And as long as you meet this need, I continue to love you. It has lots of strings attached. I love you because you make me feel safe. But if you lose your job, maybe not so much anymore. Or I love you because you make me feel good. So as long as you're doing the things that I approve of and giving me that kind of approval, I will continue to love you. Or I love you because you are mine. You are my wife or my husband or my mother or my child, but I possess you somehow. That is love with attachment. And when we love with attachment, what ends up happening is we are like a yo-yo, up and down. Our emotions and our feelings and our thinking is just like a yo-yo, and it's tumultuous, depending on how the person is acting or what they're doing. We also, when we love with that kind of attachment, we obsess. We say to ourselves, what is that person going to think of me? Or, do they love me? Am I sure that they love me? Have I offended them? Is there something that I should do so they love me even more? We do this kind of obsessive kind of stuff. But when we come from our spirit, that love is unconditional. It doesn't have any strings attached. It doesn't matter if you're doing what I approve of or what I agree with or what I want. I love because I'm giving way to my own spirit. I love because I'm giving way to that divine presence. When we do that, we come from a consciousness of an open heart and open hands. We come from a place of care and concern and wanting other people to be happy. Like in the story of the prodigal son, as long as we are out there and focused entirely on the outer world, not looking within at all, as long as we are out there, we feel like and sense life as the prodigal son, that we are separate and apart, and we remain that prodigal son. But as you remember in the story of the prodigal son, when he returned to his father's house, he was greeted with open hands, with open arms. Every time we turn to that presence, that infinite presence, we are always greeted with open hands and with open arms. It turns to us as we turn to it, and it embraces us with a love and with a plenty and with good and with bounty when we turn to it. That is why in the Bible it says, for unto whomsoever much is given, much is required of him. It's not like it's a requirement from out there that says, because we have this sense of the presence, then we must do something. It's that we have this sense of the presence and we are compelled by something within us to give. We are compelled by something within us to share of our heart and to share of our love and to share of our spirit. In Buddhism, the definition for love and for happiness is giving to another's need without attachment. It is sharing of ourselves without attachment to what we get in return. And so that's what we are called to do, is to love from that kind of a place. So as we awaken to that infinite one within us, as we awaken to that limitless love, we are compelled from that knowingness, from that awakeness, from that connection and that oneness to share that with life, to share that with others. And that is why we have a sense of wanting to be of service in the world. And it's interesting because I think that it can come from either direction. I think we can wake up to that presence inside of us, that presence of love, and from there we want to be of service. I also think being of service can be like training wheels, where we go out and act in service, and out of that we develop a sense of connection and develop a sense of compassion and develop a sense of love, and both of those things take us to the same place, which is sharing our spirit and sharing that presence within us. But in order to share that presence, we have to continuously turn to it. We have to continuously turn within and be in the silence and spend time in meditation and spend time reading things that are spiritually inspiring to us so that we are sourced from within, because that fans that flame within us so that it grows. We turn within and we are sourced from like an underground spring in a river, that it continually comes forward so that we have the love to give. Then we have much to give and we have much love to share, and then we are automatically desiring to be of service to people in the world. So my invitation to you is to turn within and to commune with that presence on a regular basis, to discover that presence in your own life, in your own way, in whatever thing makes you feel that presence in your own beingness and in your own life. To let go of the conditions. Let go of other people having to behave a certain way or act a certain way in order for you to love them. Let go of the conditions and be that Christ presence that already lives inside of you. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You know what? Jesus would love the person before him. Jesus would come from compassion and kindness. Jesus would meet the other person spirit to spirit and heart to heart. Jesus would be of service. That Christ presence lives in all of us, and it is seeking to express by means of us. And so commit daily to sharing your own spirit wherever you go and whatever you do in your life. That's all you have to do, is share your spirit. You're automatically then coming from love and from generosity. Be of service to others and be of service to the divine within you and to this world. And so I'd like to close with a quote from Ernest Holmes. He says, "The world is saturated with divinity, immersed in reality, and filled with possibility. We must take this divine possibility and mold it into present actuality in our everyday experience." That is what we are here doing, bringing that divine possibility of heaven on earth, of beauty and glory and wonder and oneness and light, bringing that into our present-day actuality. And so I thank each and every one of you for walking this path consciously of saying yes to the divine, of saying yes to your own spirit, and of bringing that into this world and making a difference wherever you go. So blessings to each and every one of you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment. And so we take our attention right now and turn it within to that infinite indwelling presence. That one presence and one power and one magnificent essence that fills this entire universe with its being. That one presence from which all things come and which are maintained and sustained by this infinite beingness. This principle of love and of life and of peace and of truth and of wholeness and of bounty. For this is the presence that we walk in. This is the presence that we give way to through our actions and through our words. This is the presence that we are here embodying and giving voice to, giving heart and hands to in this world. And so today I know that we walk in this presence and we share this light everywhere we go in everything that we do. And in all of our words, in all of our kind gestures, in all of our reaching out, there is a healing that is occurring in this world. There is transformation that is happening in the hearts and the lives of people all over this planet because God is unfolding itself through all of us. And love is the result. Love here on earth. And so I say thank you, God, for this realization, for this opportunity to walk in this light and to be a conduit for this. And so I also speak this word now for all of our world leaders and our politicians and our decision makers, knowing that that presence right now is leading them, is guiding them from the truth of oneness and of wholeness and of good and of love. And love and goodness is the result. And so I release this prayer with a grateful heart, and I release it into the law of the universe, knowing that it always says yes. We let this go and just let it unfold, and so it is. Amen.